The Weekly Warm Pipe.
All right, guys. Super Nintendo. I just did a video. You guys watch my YouTube stuff. Russ Lyman on YouTube. I got my own YouTube channel. Maybe people, I don't even know. They just listen to the podcast. Maybe they don't know we do YouTube, but on my YouTube channel, I just did a video of my most expensive Super Nintendo games. So I've been playing. I had a capture footage. So I've been playing with that. And I thought with Jay, I was like, what if we put together like the must plays of Super Nintendo? These games you must play at least once. We each made our own kind of top 10 list. So we'll see where we match on that. And we also asked you guys as well to see what would be on your list, because people are going to have different tastes. Maybe they'll have more RPGs on their list. I feel like me and Jay are kind of similar in what games we play, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. And I will say a caveat that I have a feeling this is going to be a lot of things you would typically think about. So there may not be anything groundbreaking is what I'm trying to say. So.
Right, like we're gonna have. There might be a few in there where you're like, "Oh yeah, that wouldn't make my list or whatever." But I'm sure we're gonna have a lot of the
some
most
softballs.
Talked about. Right? What does that mean? Some softballs.
That means easy to hit out the park. That's right.
I dig it. Super Nintendo. Who wants to start? I don't know. What are you doing?
You go for it. Okay. I got nine right down. I'm going to think of one on the fly.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I listed them. Well, I guess I'll just choose out of order because I'll leave the big guys for the end. But I'd say Earthworm Jim should make the list. You should play at least Earthworm Jim one time, right? For a weekend. I would say these are like, give it a weekend. All right.
I think Earthworm Jim crossed my mind earlier when I was thinking about this list.
And I definitely enjoy the first one over the second one because I've live streamed the second one and we beat it. And it doesn't hit like that first one. Maybe they were trying to, you know, do too much or to top it. But if they just like copy and paste it, I would have been fine. Like DLC, like here's some more levels in the same vein. But the gameplay in it, if you like any 90s cartoons, you know, you get that. Over the top, like gross. You think Ren and Stimpy,
exactly
cartoons like that.
You would think it almost seems like it was like meant to be a Nickelodeon cartoon and just never made it.
Right, right, absolutely. I mean, you play as a worm who gets into a space suit and he's trying to save Princess What's Her Name.
That is her name.
And I just love the like little voice acting when like he says stuff, Kyle. I don't know. You're like whipping it and it says some weird name. Sounds like Kyle. I don't know. When he's whipping.
See, I always thought he was saying cow.
Maybe.
There's so many cows in the game.
It could be. And then you just get over the top guns. You got like your machine gun, ray gun.
And he's like,
yeah, just like going nuts with it. And the music's fantastic in that game. Even like you go to. Is the name of the level What the Heck? I want to say it's
probably
What the Heck, but they have one of those like it's a very famous like what would you call it? Symphony song.
Symphony
or orchestra,
like orchestra
type song. Yeah.
Like bum 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 bum. Like something like that. Like very
classic. It's not that one, but yes. Like classical music, but it fits so well. And I played through it a bunch and I enjoyed like sketching Earthworm Jim. Especially I haven't gotten Earthworm Jim tattoo. Maybe I could get the little, you know, when he's just his head's kind of poking out the little hole somewhere. That'd probably
yeah. There you go.
Earthworm Jim, check it out.
I used to have that game. I don't think I have it anymore.
It's got to be cheap.
Definitely play it once.
Oh, and what about the in between levels? You would get him on screen, and if you press the button, he would say groovy.
Oh yeah,
and you could just jam on the button. He'd be like. Groovy, groovy. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, dude, it's 90s to a T.
Right.
Perfect. It's groovy, baby.
What we got?
All right. I'll be like you and go a little off the beaten path, maybe. I still think a lot of people love this game, Pilot Wings.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was one of the launch games that the Super Nintendo put out, and the music's fun, and it's just fun, like flying around on the different, like the planes. There's like a jetpack. I think, is there a helicopter? Am I remembering incorrectly?
I honestly, I don't think I ever played this one.
It's fun to like try to like land on the spot. Like there'll be like a specific X on the ground that you have to land on.
Okay.
I haven't played it a ton, but what I did play of it, I liked it. So it's like, if it fits the criteria, you should play it at least once.
At least one time. Looks like a full playthrough takes about an hour or so.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was all about with like pushing the system with
Mode 7
graphics here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun trying to fly the little plane. It's trying to land, like almost like Top Gun, but probably easier.
Right.
You have the little thing on the side.
Right. A little bit better. Plus you got nice music. I feel like it could probably be a relaxing game, maybe. Are there enemies or anything? You're just cruising around.
I feel like maybe on one level there is, but for the most part, you're just like, you know, like you're trying to like fly. It's almost like Superman where you're flying through the rings here.
I see. It's like a
Superman 64 or whatever.
It's like a low key Star Fox.
Yeah, exactly. Like, except you're
laid
not
back.
You're not blocky looking.
Yeah. Okay. Pilot Wings.
Do you have that game, Russ?
I don't. Maybe I'll pick it up.
It's probably cheap. Pick it up, buddy.
Like, I should have got a piece of paper so I can write these down, right? Ones that Jay suggests.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a pen. All right, Pilot Wings. Get it if you
I'll
don't got
it. To you. That's right.
I'd say this is in similar vein with the Mode 7 graphics, but I had just recently played this one too, and I forgot how great it was. And that is ActRaiser.
Ooh, yes.
This has a little bit of everything for you if you never played this game here. I'll bring up some gameplay footage, but it essentially starts off and you're in the heavens as this like little angel guy is talking to you essentially about what's going on. And the way you start off the game, you are kind of in this floating tower that's above the world itself, right? And you can move the tower around to different towns, essentially. And when you get to a town, you can, I guess, descend down. Let's see, this is a little head here. There you are with your little angel guy. And you need to rid the town of the monsters so the people can build up life again. So it goes into this side-scrolling platforming area like this. So you're playing as a platformer, little knight guy. You fight your boss. Once you beat the boss, then it goes into like this sim mode, basically. And so you have to build roads, you have to water the crops, and then there's like demon portals where like these demons are coming out, where you'll have to build a road to like destroy the demons. You can kind of see them flying there. So you kind of do this to level your character up until you're strong enough to then go to a different section, and then you're back into the platforming aspect of the game. So this takes, you know, quite a bit with the Sims area. They got rid of all of this in the second one, which I think was a mistake. This stood out so much. It was so unique. And I had never played any of the Sims games before. And this kind of forces it on you as like part of the gameplay. It's like, yeah, there's so many platformers on the system, but this kind of adds a different element to that rather than just doing this. Because the second one, it's just all platforming, but they also made it harder too. Yeah. So it's not quite as loved. But yeah, you get this little, you know, breakup of different gameplay and then back to like the sim aspect. And okay, level up your character, you can do different things. And, you know, they always talk to you as like their god. They're like, oh, we need the crops watered. And so you're like, okay, I got to go over water the crops or whatever.
Now, Russ, is this an expensive game?
No, this is like under $30, I think.
Oh.
So you can definitely grab this one on the cheap and give it a go for sure. And it's I want to say, was this one on the Switch, on, you know, the like online Switch or whatever, SNES Switch Online, whatever the heck you call it. It might be on there. I'm trying to remember if I seen it on there. I had since let my subscription lapse, but ActRaiser, I'd say check it out.
Yeah, looks like there's one on here for $38. Okay. $42, $26. So upper 20s to lower 40s, depending on where you get it.
Yeah. ActRaiser.
Nice. Definitely
check it out.
Alrighty. Moving on. I have Star Fox.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So must be all the flying games I'm into right now. Star Fox is kind of cool because it has that, what is that, FX chip?
Right. Yeah.
Which gives it that like polygon kind of look. And you know, your Fox McCloud, and you have all this band of merry men that are also animals, like a frog, a rabbit, and a falcon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all talk real weird. I don't know what they're saying, but it sounds, that's what it sounds like to me. What's that?
Like Charlie Brown's parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So I played this game recently and got pretty far in the game. I was so close to beating it, I thought. But I like it. I don't know. It kind of has a unique look for the Super Nintendo with the FX chip and everything being like polygons.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think that's what helped it stand out.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it almost looks like it should have been like a PlayStation 1, maybe.
Right. And I do like, there's also like alternate paths you can take,
different ways
you can beat the level, so that adds so much replay value to it, which is sweet.
Right.
I remember like I beat it, and then when I was getting back into retro games, I had popped this in, and my buddy was over, and we were just like, so like, oh man, taken back almost, like,
yeah,
how good this game was. Like, oh, we got to get to the end and beat Andross, and
it's kind of tough. So the fact that you beat it, it's awesome, because I was really close and I couldn't do it. I love shooting that little robot there walking with like the little blocks in his hand.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But and then
I was trying to say I-beams.
And then when it shows you all the planets, you get, it's almost like choose like easy, medium, or difficult. It kind of reminds me of how Mortal Kombat would do it with the way you fought your guys. You know, it'd be really hard, but you only fight four guys or whatever.
Right.
So you can take the shorter path to get the Venom, but it's going to be hard levels.
Yeah, I think I took the middle path to get the Venom. I don't know if that's the easiest or hardest, or I was so close. I was right there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like give it a chance. It's kind of cool. It kind of reminds me of that Star Wars or arcade game a little bit too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. With the polygons, with that and being in space.
Yep. So, but pretty cool game. Obviously, it's a game everybody knows about. It's nothing, not breaking any ground here telling you to play Star Fox, but
use the boost to get through.
Robert McDabbert.
Classic. We'll stick with you got flying games. I'll go with racing games, and I added F-Zero on the list.
I'm glad you put it on yours, because I wanted to.
This little space, you got mixed now. Space, you're racing spaceships, but on like a track, like a hovering track, right?
Exactly. You're floating.
You're floating. And I still don't know why there's been no like Switch version, or like they did have, what's the newest one now? It's like, I think I downloaded it and never played it. It's
they had an F-Zero 99 recently.
F-Zero 99. I don't know if it's still active.
And you know what's cool is I came in first place a few times on that.
Nice. So yeah, you don't know what that is. You're racing with 99 other people. So that's
98, right?
98. You're the 99. A little bit different from the original. But yeah, I thought it was unique with the spaceships and stuff, kind of set it apart from other racing games, and the way it just feels that it moves so fast. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe it's how they made the tracks or like those little circles or whatever, but you just get the sense of speed.
You're flying.
That you're really flying. Like, it doesn't look this fast when you play in Mario Kart. No. So you get that extra adrenaline that you're cruising. And Captain Falcon, right? You got Captain Falcon. This is where he came from. Play him in Smash Brothers or here on F-Zero.
What color did you pick, Russ? Who were you always?
I probably was the red one.
The pink one? Red?
Was it pink? Pinkish? What'd you get? Blue? Pink. Was there blue?
Blue, green, gold.
Gold.
Or yellow, and then pink. And I was always the pink car for some reason.
Yeah, I think I might have picked that one as well.
I don't know why.
I don't know if there's a... I guess there's an ending. 49 minutes playthrough we're looking at here on YouTube. The intensity.
I don't think I've ever beaten it. No, I know I have.
I'm trying to remember if I had. I don't... Probably
because it goes dun 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 dun, dun. It gets hard. It gets really crazy hard on like Night League. Dude, good this music. Music is so good.
Good music.
This and Big Blue. Everybody loves Big Blue.
What's Big Blue from?
Big Blue's from this.
Oh, that's the name of the track, Big Blue.
It's the second track.
Oh, I see.
Scroll back a little bit. Let everybody hear Big Blue. This one.
Oh, was it that one?
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that one.
Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, too fast. Too
yeah,
fast.
That was it. So good.
I dig it.
Bam. Ba-damp. Ba-damp. Yep.
F-Zero.
F-Zero. I traded Home Alone 2 for F-Zero as a kid.
There you go. It's a good trade. Traded up.
Great game. Yeah. All right. You ready for my next one?
I am.
All right. I gave this game a little bit of hate last week, but that still doesn't mean you shouldn't play it at least once.
Gotcha.
Maybe that's the only amount of times you should play it. I'm just kidding. No, it's a good game. I just suck. Contra 3 The Alien Wars. You played Contra. You played Super C. Now you got to play it on the Super NES.
That's true.
Contra 3 The Alien Wars. You got to experience Contra in the 16-bit awesomeness that it is. There's bombs flying. There's tanks you can ride in. There's planes flying over, dropping bombs on you. I mean, it is an experience. There's mode 7 overhead kind of.
Well, it's wonder. I guess it was so funny. I guess they didn't look for the future and they missed the opportunity of on NES. They had Contra and then they called it Super C. And then when you get to the Super Nintendo, everything is super whatever, Super Mario World, Super Mario Kart. Obviously, this should be Super Contra, but they already had...
This should be Super Contra, but they already had one. They didn't.
So you kind of get confused and you're like, all right, Contra, the Alien Wars.
And see, I think the second one could have been called the Alien Wars because it's a lot of aliens you're fighting.
Yeah. What's funny is I just played through Contra. Oh, God, what the heck is the name of it now? Galaga Operation? Galig, something like that. It's the newest one that's out, the newest Contra game.
And don't know nothing about it.
It's kind of like a remake of the original. And when you beat it, it kind of expands the story. And it's basically like, get ready for the Alien Wars. So it's like, oh, shoot. Like, are they going to redo Contra 3 Alien Wars? I don't know. Maybe. But they hint towards that. Now it's the Alien Wars.
Interesting.
Yeah, this that's game cool. had a lot going for it. You know, you got your regular Contra run and gun sections, big bosses, and then you get these wild top down sections, almost reminding me of like what the heck is that game? Not Total Carnage, is that it?
Total Carnage?
No. It's the one where you use the two joysticks to shoot.
Smash JT. Smash TV. Yeah. Did I say Smash JT?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean.
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit, but very, very cool, very unique. Definitely worth a playthrough. it's probably easier than Contra Hard Corps, I would say, right? And Sega Genesis. So I'd go with this if you're going 16-bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played Hardcore enough. I haven't played Contra Hardcore enough to compare them.
Fair enough.
My Genesis Mini doesn't get much love.
Ooh, mine's not even out of the box. So
mine's sitting right here. Mine was in the box for like 3 years. And I was like, all right, I got to play this thing.
Like you're freaking riding a missile.
Yeah, see?
I dig it.
Contra. What else you got, Russ?
The Alien Wars. Moving on. We'll keep with the future theme. And I'll go with Mega Man X, the first one.
Made my list, and then I took it off because I realized I haven't played it enough to be able to speak upon it.
Oh, man.
I got it at a yard sale in Cincinnati, though. So I do have a copy.
Oh, interesting. Got it for a good deal.
Yep, real good deal.
Now, I haven't played X2 or 3. Maybe people are like, oh, those ones are better ones. So I figured, put the first one on. If you enjoyed any of the Mega Man games on NES, then I'm sure it's a natural progression to try a Mega Man game on the Super Nintendo. Now, I had thought, so it's a different Mega Man. It's not the same Mega Man on NES. X is a different robot, in case you didn't know.
I think I did know, but I struggle because he's so much larger than I'm used to.
His sprite, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and the regular Mega Man. And, like, I'm such a purist that, like, this for the same reason I didn't love Super Castlevania 4 when I first got it, I think I struggled to like Mega Man X. It's like I want to like it. I realize it's good. I mean, NES Complex made the greatest video on it ever, and I still can't find a way to get into it. Those look like Mousers from Turtles.
That's true. Yeah, it's a fun story. Great, great music. I love this opening stage. I had never played a game where this is essentially the tutorial stage for you to kind of learn different things because it forces you down a pit, so then it's like, oh, I can jump on the wall to kind of climb back up. Like, that's an ability. And your charge shot, and you get to fight the boss at the end that there's no way that you can beat. And it kind of just shows, you know, you're not as strong as you can be yet. Zero comes out to save you. So you kind of get this motivation to, like, oh, I want to get as strong as Zero. I want to go find all the X armor parts. And what's so unique too is, like, certain levels that you play, you can affect other levels. I don't know if you know this or not.
I do, because I think I'm pretty sure that Chris covers some of that in his video.
Right. Where, like, certain, like, in the fire level, if you beat one of the, I think the ice stage or something, something melts and then extinguishes a lot of the fire. It's in the fire level. And so they kind of affect each other, so you can then go back and get other power-ups that weren't accessible, essentially.
It's definitely interesting. I just need to stop being a wuss. And this is one of the games I should have talked about last week, games I can't get into.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah, because I get that it's great and just can't get into it.
Yeah.
So but I have played it.
Say, cool weapons, getting the added X armor, so you can get a helmet. Dash boots, and I think like a chest piece, and you physically see Mega Man X change in his appearance when you get those items. And then if you even want to go crazier, you can actually get a Hadouken as a power-up.
I've seen that, yeah.
You get a special like tube thing you go in or whatever, and then quarter circle, and it one-shots all the bosses. But I think,
wow.
I forget if you might have to have full power to use it. And it's so, like, I'm like, how did anyone figure this out to beat it? Like, you need to be in armored armadillo stage here. And I think go through it a certain amount of times. And then at the very end, you're riding on a minecart and need to, like, jump as far as you can and then wall climb up. And then you'll find the capsule there. And I thought that was so unique. To be like, oh, yeah. well, it's Capcom. Capcom does Street Fighter. We're going to throw a little Easter egg in there on you. And I did a video on my channel where I had found, I did this with two games where back in the day, I realized you could hook up a VCR to your Super Nintendo and record your gameplay, we had like this epiphany.
And
I did a full playthrough of this game and another game, and I had found this tape, and it's labeled Mega Man X, and or maybe I read it Mega Man X the movie, but it's my full playthrough of the game. There's no, fortunately, no talking or video of me. It's just the gameplay. So like I ripped it to digitally, and it's just like, you know, crappy gameplay. Nothing special, but
it's still like the time you beat it.
Right. Because we had gotten so good at it, me and my buddy, and went over his house for the weekend, and I was like, dude, let's play Mega Man X. Like, set up a VCR, I'll bring a tape. And, you know, I don't know how long it took, 3 hours, 4 hours or whatever, but we beat it. Because I remember watching, I got the Sigma at the end, and it's just like dying, trying over and over again until I finally beat him. Pretty fun.
I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Cool. Mega Man X definitely deserves to be on the list, even though I suck at wanting to play it. Next on my list, a little beat 'em up known as Final Fight.
Nice.
Final Fight was a game that I got into as a kid playing on an arcade down in Myrtle Beach when I was on summer break at my grandparents'.
Yeah.
Came home, asked for it for my birthday. My dad took me to Toys R Us. And nice. We got Final Fight. Now, they should have put Guy in it.
So I
corrected that with Final Fight Guy.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I don't know why didn't they just do that to begin with?
You couldn't fit one more also, character in the game.
Yeah. Also, a little lazy that they didn't make it two-player.
Right.
Which is a tragedy.
So I wonder if there's anything behind that where they were rushing to get it out for a certain time of the year, or just, I don't know, the people that regularly program it were busy with another project. So they're like, you know what? It's going to be single player. We'll minus a character and you guys can reach your deadline.
Yeah, exactly. But Capcom made it, so it's great. It has like Street Fighter-esque graphics. And, you know, you could be Cody, who's like the young man, and it's his girlfriend who you're trying to rescue.
Yeah.
You can be Hacker, which is Jessica's dad, and then Guy, who's just some random friend.
Yeah, and it just goes through and plays like a beat 'em up. I almost say it would probably be easier to beat this.
Your earphones, Russ, sorry.
Oh. I say it would probably be easier to beat this in the arcade because you could just put as many quarters as you want. With this, though, I'm sure you have limited continues.
Yeah, it's actually the only arcade one-up I own because it was $50 at Walmart. But it was also just a game that meant a lot to me as a kid because, like, you know, for whatever reason, I really took a liking to it when I played it in the arcade and enough to be like, hey, Dad, buy me this for my birthday, you know? So he did.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember this in the arcade and obviously Streets of Rage. Over on Sega Genesis.
On the old Genesis. They're kind of like brother games, I guess.
Right. Definitely enjoy a good beat 'em up game for sure. And yeah, this one's a fun one. I wish it was two player. I would say Final Fight Guy, but that's more expensive.
Yeah, and this was a really hard game too. Like there's a character named Abigail that I just found brutally difficult.
Oh, okay. Just freaking drained your life bar.
Yeah, I think the only reason, the only way I ever beat this game is there's a code. If you hit left trigger, right trigger, and maybe select or start, I can't remember, at the beginning, you get like 8 or 9 lives. And that was the only way I was ever able to beat this as a kid was with the extra lives. I couldn't do it with just what they gave me.
Well, it said it's tough.
But I played the crap out of it.
Because it is an arcade port, and the main reason of an arcade game, right, is the gets you to put more quarters in, so they're intentionally having you lose your life more, or like, oh, he's got to put more quarters in, so when you're limited to what quarters or continues and guys you have on the Super Nintendo, you just got to get good.
That's right.
Sweet. Well, I'll add to the beat 'em up list here, and I added a different beat 'em up that I played a bunch. And that would be the Batman Returns on Super Nintendo. And it kind of follows most of the same plot as the movie. You get the scenes, little cut scenes of what's happening at, and it opens up at the lighting of the Christmas tree with the carnival gang kind of coming out and I guess attacking you.
Man, I'm not hearing nothing, Russ. I'm sorry.
Jay can't hear me. Hopefully you guys can. This one's a difficult one, though. I can't say if... I don't think I ever did beat it. But I have a blast playing it. You know, get to be a Batman beat-em-up game. Batman on NES was a platformer. Return of the Joker was a platformer. So when we got the Super Nintendo, I was like, oh, this is sweet. It's just like a beat-em-up game, just like Final Fight, Streets of Rage, or any of that have you. But with Batman. And it even switches it up. There's some like driving stages too, where you're in the Batmobile. And it also changes with the side scrolling where you can no longer move anywhere you want in the screen, but it's still side scrolling, but you can use your Batarang to like swing and climb and stuff like that. So switches up the gameplay, very fun. And it is difficult, so it would take some practice to beat it, to get through it, but it's definitely a fun one. They did have a Batman Returns on NES, which is even more difficult because I believe they only give you one life bar and maybe no continues or something like that. I barely got anywhere. But this game I played a ton growing up, being a big Batman fan and enjoying, you know, Michael Keaton Batman is fantastic. So this game certainly had to be on my list for sure.
My next game I'm going to pick, this is where I start dipping into those games that you're like, duh, Jay, of course. So forgive me. Turtles in Time.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, good one for sure.
Everybody should play Turtles in Time. It's like the quintessential Ninja Turtle game. Like, I think it's what we wanted on the NES, but the capabilities just couldn't do it.
Right, after playing the arcade
yes.
Turtles game, you're like, oh, this is what we want. And you're like, oh, okay, it's kind of like that for Super Nintendo.
I mean, Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, you know, pretty good on the NES, but I think this really just takes the cake. Turtles in Time, just amazing. Love how they use the mode 7 when you can throw the Foot Clan into the television. Oh,
into the television, yeah.
Like, that's just really cool. You know, they got every major boss enemy from the cartoon and toys. There's Big Krang right there. I like how he's not a boss necessarily right here, but he's just kind of thrown into the game. That was kind of a cool idea.
Right, to give you a little teaser, like, oh, shoot, there's Krang. Yeah.
But, you know, all the turtles handle great. Donatello's always still my go-to because of his long-range weapon. But Leonardo's mm-hmm. pretty good, too, with that, I would imagine. But, yeah, just a great game. You know, it's cool. It has, like, cool little sound bites. Like, you'll hit those little spikes on the water level and go, my toe, my toe.
Right, yeah. I mean, so many different levels are so unique, for sure. I dig it where you get sent back in time.
Yeah. Right?
So then you're like, oh, shoot, we're fighting. Like, how are we going to fight these people or whatever? And then you get onto the pirate ship. Like,
yep.
So many levels that stand out, and it's a good time. And unlike Final Fight, this is two player.
Yeah.
Same time. So they got that right.
All the little audio intros, like Big Apple, 3M. Like, you know.
So iconic. Yeah. Definitely takes you back when you hear that. You're like, this is great. This is the game we wanted. This is a fun weekend rental game. You're a Turtles fan. You're like, I had to get this. What you say about it? Ninja Turtles, Cowabunga.
What I can say about it is, before I got into retro gaming, this was one of the first retro games I bought. Like, let me see if I can explain this. All right, go back to 2003. Xbox is all the rage. I'm at maybe like an EB Games or something, and there's this big bin in the middle of the toy store or the game store filled with Super Nintendo games. And I'm flipping through, and I'm like, oh my God, Super Nintendo. I haven't seen this in like 10 years. So I'm flipping through, and bam, Turtles in Time's right there. It was $14.99, and it may have been even cheaper than that, but that's what the sticker says on the side. So 2003, 10 years before Jay gets into retro games, I buy Turtles in Time. and I go home and play it, and like I still have that same copy that I bought in 2003 for $14.99, and it still has the sticker on the side. So
that's cool. That's cool. That's a left on there. I could only imagine what other games in there. Earthbound.
It makes me sick to think what else could have been in there.
Yeah, I'm a Turtles fan.
Yeah, exactly. If only I would have been like a Chrono Trigger fan or whatever, you know.
Right, who knows?
Buy all the cheap Chrono Triggers.
But Turtles in Time, definitely a good one.
Yep.
Pick up and play for sure. Gotta be on must play list.
Gotta be, right? You play it once, you'll play it twice, I promise.
I dig it for sure. All right, added on my list. There is a trio of these games that came out. Again, I'm just gonna list the first one because I had the most time with that one, and especially watching the hype video for it to come out. I'm talking about Donkey Kong Country, of course. I got the VHS tape in the mail, and they're explaining about how they made it and all these special like techniques they were using, and I was like hyped on this game coming out. I'm like, this is going to be sweet, and it was a good time for sure. You get to play as Donkey Kong, and you also get to play as Diddy Kong. So you could do trying to remember now. You could play two player.
Co-op, yeah.
Yeah, co-op with that. Or just play single as well. And when you get hit, then the other ape will take over and you can switch back and forth. But music off the charts, fantastic. Everyone always talks about the music.
Yeah, the water levels for sure.
Definitely lots of replay value in it. Secrets beyond secrets to find. The characters, like the extra characters that you can play, like the rhinoceros that you can ride on, the ostrich, you got the it's not the shark, it's a
Like a swordfish.
Swordfish in the water. So cool with that. And yeah, I just had so much fun playing this one over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you say? It's Donkey Kong. I'll just say that it's for some reason still one of those games I can't seem to get into.
Man,
I know. What's wrong with me, Russ?
Yeah, I said I spent so much time with this one. I have played the other ones. I just recently did a live stream of the third one, Dixie Kong's Super Adventure. I don't know, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's just because I spent so much time with the first one. I had an okay time playing it, but that, you know, that first one's just engraved in my brain to be like, this is it. This is the one.
I do have a copy of this, and it's also in the SNES Classic, so I'll get to it at some point. I'll force myself to play through it. Dude. All right. These next four, I would say we got to at least have... I have five more. Sorry. I would say out of the next five, we have to at least have four matching, Russ.
I have four left. Yeah, I'll let you go. Then we'll jump into what you guys suggested and we'll finish up our top.
All right. I'm going to start with my favorite Super NES game, Super Castlevania 4.
Okay.
So good. It takes everything Castlevania does, makes it better. Whipping eight directions. Music is incredible. Graphics are incredible. Just so many fun levels with all kind of crazy music that matches it. I don't know what else to say. Super Castlevania is a heck of a good time and my favorite SNES game ever.
Wow. How about that, guys? Yeah. I mean,
that's a stamp.
This game you could play in October if you want to get into the spooky season and kind of have that horror genre and atmosphere. Definitely a good time. And if you enjoyed any of the NES ones, this one certainly would have to be on your list. Even though Jay doesn't like it, I said Contra, then you go Super Contra, Alien Wars, you go Castlevania, you move over to Super Nintendo, you want to play Super Castlevania.
Super Castlevania, threw the four on there for good measure.
Just, yeah, just to be like, hey, this is the fourth one in the series, we're kind of, in case you didn't play the other three.
Yeah. I love how at the end they put all the classic music in. That's kind of a fun little thing for the fans. But I just think it's so great. Everything about it is my favorite.
Yeah, bigger bosses. You know, you're on the Super Nintendo, so everything's supersized, baby.
That's right.
The weapons, the bosses, the music, the fun.
When I first played this game, I did not like it. And that doesn't surprise anybody right now after all the hate I've been given. And then somehow I got into it, and then I was like, what the heck is wrong with me? Why did I not like this? It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to go through it again. It's been quite some time since I played it.
I bet I play this game once a year at least.
Once a year? Yeah, I can't remember if I beat it or not, but...
Oh, dude, you got to. So good.
I'll have to do a live stream in October then.
Oh, dude, I will watch the entire thing if you play this.
Give me a hand helping
out. I'll be giving you all the tips in the corner.
Over here. Whip over here.
Duck, Russ, duck.
Sweet.
All right, I'm expecting a lot of matches here, unless you just didn't go obvious like I did.
Well, I did. Yeah, I did on, let's see, let's say I have. Yeah, I'll do one more. We'll probably match, and then we'll finish it up.
Cool.
I added A Link to the Past. Zelda, A Link to the Past.
We have a match.
I mean, talking Super Nintendo. I remember seeing this screenshot in the back of the Super Nintendo box.
Me too.
Being like, oh man, that looks awesome. Like, just like a crisper, clearer version of the first Zelda on NES, but with so much more, with having the light and dark world. So you basically, your whole map is doubled because you can go back and forth.
Right.
So many unique abilities. You know, I felt like they took all the magic and stuff that they had in Zelda 2 and put it into this game as well, but kept that top down. What would you explain? Top down
view.
View, I guess. Yeah, of how you play the game. So good. I love the boots. When you get the boots and you can run,
dude. I can just hear the music in my head right now. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah. And this made my list of most expensive games in my collection. I have it loose, not in the box, but. Even a loose copy is, I think it's over $50.
And if you haven't played it and don't like this game, go get your brain checked.
Jeez, a little harsh.
Something's wrong with you. Who was it that said they didn't like this game last week?
Oh, someone did. Yeah, I can't remember offhand or whatever. But
yeah, my buddy Jordan Baxley texted me and he said, these people we don't associate with, Jay. He highlighted his comment. It's like, that's Jeez. So funny.
But yes, yeah, certainly a classic game for sure. Got to be on the must play list. Check it out. Enjoy it. Give it a weekend. See
Sleep
if you can get
it,
into it.
Put it under your pillow. Give it to gifts as all your friends.
There
Marry
we go.
It.
All right, let's see what you guys had to say.
What did you say? What did you say?
Springfield, let's hear from you.
All right, we got the Instagram weekly warp pipe. I post it on there. We'll see what you guys had to say. We got Andy Pittman says Pocky and Rocky for sure.
Interesting.
Have you played that one before?
I have not.
I played it briefly. It's kind of like a action adventure game, almost like A Link to the Past with a top down, if I'm remembering correctly. But it might have some RPG elements into it. I played it very briefly, but there's two of them on the system. So check it out, Pocky and Rocky. We got MXS Retro, Turtles in Time.
Yeah, course, my friend.
Made the list for sure. That's a good one. Nostalgia Junkies podcast. Check them out. They got a podcast too. What's up?
What's up?
Secret of Mana, Super Mario RPG, and F-Zero are a must. Those are the three they suggested.
I've played a little Secret of Mana on the SNES Classic, but I gotta dig a little deeper before I can say anything really about it.
Okay. Scruffy Gif says Demon Crest.
Yes.
That's a pricey one, but a fun one. If you like Gargoyles Quest on Game Boy, it's supersized.
It's on my modded Wii. I gotta finish it.
Okay. We got Ties Gaming. Outside of Super Mario World, Link to the Past and Super Metroid, I would say Donkey Kong Country, Final Fantasy, and Mega Man X.
There you go.
Sure, those are classics. Definitely. What else we got? We got our Facebook page. If you want to follow us over there, we have a Facebook page, the Weekly Warp Pipe. Matthew Durkin drops his top 10 list on here.
Let's go.
My personal top 10 for the SNES would have to be Turtles in Time.
Yes.
Super Castlevania 4.
Yes.
Super Metroid.
Yes.
Donkey Kong Country 2.
Possibly.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Great.
Link to the Past.
Yes.
Super Mario World.
Yes.
Super Mario Kart.
I can agree.
Mega Man X.
Russ can agree.
Chrono Trigger.
We can all agree.
Each and every game is bigger with a ton of is a banger with a ton of replayability. That's for sure.
Dang.
Yeah, those are classics.
That was a good list.
And then let's see, I do have our community YouTube page. Let's see right here. And we got a few people who commented on there. My buddy Colby, Urgent Splurge Thrifting. Some absolutely incredible games exist for the Super NES, but one that is an absolute must play is Pocky and Rocky.
That's two Pocky and Rockies, huh?
It's an awesome side scrolling up shooter that has amazing sprites, awesome characters, and gameplay, and is a fun story. It plays from the top down perspective.
Interesting.
And it's just so much fun. I'll never forget snagging my copy from Blockbuster Video back in the day for $6.99.
That's a steal of a deal.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to stream that one then. Pocky and Rocky, sure. We got Retro Car Collector. For me, a must play would be Sunset Riders. It's an amazing game on SNES. That's a cowboy shooter game.
I'm going to be honest with you and let you know that I have never played it because I don't own a copy.
Right, it is a pricey one.
Is it that's not on the SNES Classic, is it?
I don't know if it is. Oh, man,
they should have put that on there. Dang you, Konami.
We got Nexus says, I pick Mario Paint as a game you must play on SNES. There were many hours spent making music and animations back in the day. With the help of a VCR, you could make some elaborate and creative stuff and show them to your friends and family. With the included mouse, the SNES bridged the gap of consoles and computers of the time, giving gamers access to a limitless toolbox of fun.
What a well-spoken paragraph.
For some reason, didn't even cross my mind to put Mario Paint on there, but where did anything else like that come to? Like, again, like you said, yeah, animation was on there, music was on there, and I've seen tons of videos on YouTube of the music creations people did on Mario Paint. It's fantastic.
I remember wanting Mario Paint so bad as a kid, and I don't know why I never got it, but I wanted it so bad. But you know who does really good Mario Paint pictures?
No.
Mike Matei.
Oh, okay. He does. Does he like live stream him painting on
I
there?
I think he's done live streams of videos he's did, and a lot of those old AVGN episodes, some of that stuff was made with Mario Paint.
Interesting.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a good way to do pixel art because it's all gridded.
Yeah.
Already.
Yep.
Cool.
Super cool.
Love it. All right, we got a few more. I got, three more on the list here?
Same here. And they're probably all the same. I would imagine our last three. I'm gonna go on a limb and say we're matching all three. Three for three.
Three for three.
Three for three. We're matching them, Russ.
Let's see.
I'm just gonna let you name yours off, and I'm gonna give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
All right. We'll go with Super Metroid, right? Gotta be on the list. We're talking Super Nintendo. Gotta have Super Metroid for sure.
Incredible game.
The atmosphere of that one. The replayability, the exploration story definitely takes you back. And that was the other game that I brought a VCR to record onto a VHS tape. I did a full play through it, but I can't find that tape of it.
You'll find it one day.
So we'll see. I'm in the midst of moving. Maybe it'll turn up once I get to the new house and everything's in one location.
That's but right.
I did a full play through that. At my friend's house for the weekend, so let's play Super Metroid. I could probably beat this in one shot. You know how many hours it took. I know I didn't 100% it, you know,
right?
Didn't find all the items. I don't think I've ever found all the items in the game.
No, I think I've gotten like 86, 87, but never 100.
But fantastic for sure. It's been almost one of the number one games for Games Done Quick when they do their speed run event. Like, everyone tunes in for the Super Metroid speedrun, for sure. And yeah.
So I never played this growing up as a kid.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get this game until I got into retro games, and I will give a huge shout out to NES Complex. His Super Metroid retrospective single-handedly was responsible for the reason I wanted to play this game. And I bought it in Super Castlevania on the same day because I couldn't decide which one I wanted, so I just bought them both.
There we go.
I think I paid $40 a piece. So $80 total. Yep.
See, we'll see how long this takes for me to get filled in, but I do have my Metroid and my Samus.
Screw Attack. Yep.
Yeah, right there, ready to go for my Metroid fandom. Fantastic. All right, next on the list.
I'm going to go ahead and give two thumbs up because I know we're going to match.
It's got to be Chrono Trigger.
It is. It is Chrono Trigger. And despite the fact that I haven't beat it yet, I can still say it's a must play. It's so good.
Yeah. Again, tattoo. I got Chrono on my forearm right here. I'm showing it the most awkward way I can. Focus, camera. Whatever, I just go like this.
You know what I just realized, Russ?
Okay.
Because of your tattoo, why was there never a Super Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah, there was only the trilogy. Got bored it. They didn't do Super Ninja Gaiden, which why? It went from NES, and then the next Ninja Gaiden game we got, I thought, was like on the Xbox, the Sigma collection.
All right, Tecmo. Retro's back. Make Super
Ninja Gaiden.
Super Ninja Gaiden, please. Thank you.
I mean, I love the story of Chrono Trigger. Time travel's fantastic. Multiple endings. So many different people in the party that you can get. So you kind of find your top three, whether you want to have Frog or Magus.
You change the names of any of your people?
When I grew up playing, yes. Yeah, of course, I changed Chrono to my name, and then, you know, some of the girls, the people I went to school with. But now when I play, you know, they stay the same. So yeah. I know.
That's funny.
If you can't get it on Super Nintendo, it's available quite a different consoles. It's on the DS. I think it's even ported to the phone, I want to say. I think they did a, like, iOS version.
Well, lucky for me, I met a guy randomly at Cracker Barrel who randomly told me he had two copies of Chrono Trigger and sold to me for $50. How does that happen? I don't know. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And then closing out for the must plays, Super Mario World.
It's-a me, Mario. Yep. You told you we'd match all three.
What's funny is I didn't know someone had brought up, again, I was doing my video of my most expensive Super Nintendo games. And someone had said in their collection, the most expensive is Super Mario World, because most people got it in the box with the system. So it was a cart only. So you had to get separately to get the box itself. So it made it a little bit more expensive, because most people probably were like, that was the game that made them purchase a Super Nintendo.
That's exactly why I bought mine.
I'm getting a Super Nintendo because of this game. I mean, I went to Sears and Service Merchandise to play their Super Nintendo kiosk with this game in it, and just marveling at all the cool levels, the cool characters, the power-ups. It just blew our minds back then. And you're like, what? What is this? It looks
Yoshi so single-handedly awesome. The line. I can ride a dinosaur that can eat anything. This is incredible.
Right. Yeah.
The music's amazing, which we didn't talk about the Chrono Trigger music. Also amazing. Did you know there's like a variant on the sticker of the front? It's pretty subtle.
No, it's like one the them, left rows almost.
One of them says Super Mario Brothers all the way across.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, the other one says Super Mario Brothers.
Or Super Mario World. Sorry,
Super Mario World, yeah.
Interesting.
You'll have to look it up. Well, Super Mario World variant carts.
Super Mario World.
I think one was a later release. Mine was the one with it written in a row.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Here we go. This guy's holding up a cart right here. Because they have that issue with and Super Mario Brothers 3, where the bro is either left side or right side.
Yep.
essentially.
Get left or get right, bro.
Yeah. So here we are right here. This guy's holding it. Yeah. Now I wonder if one was the pack-in title and one wasn't.
That's a good question. But the one on the bottom is the one I have, or the one I got as a kid. And that blue's a little different too. I don't know if that's just from fading or what, but
right, or the cart itself he's holding there, but
which one do you prefer?
I'm almost preferring the bottom one.
That's the one I prefer.
I feel like it flows a little bit better. Since they're all the same size, and the top one, Super's a little bit smaller, and you see Mario World in your face.
This is a really weird thing to point out, but you know what I've always loved? I love how the letters are different colors, and they're almost like the colors of the Switch palaces.
Of the what palaces?
The Switch palaces that you get all the blocks from.
Oh, right.
Yep.
I wonder if, too, and it kind of almost reminds me of how the buttons are in the Super Famicom.
That too, except minus the green, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if the box is there, because I'm looking at a box version here, and it has Super and then Mario World under it, if there was a variant.
Yeah, I don't know.
With it straight across. But fun little fact there.
There you go.
I mean, it's got to make the list. Super Mario World, for sure.
It's got to.
So many great games, so little time. Definitely pick up, if you haven't already, a SNES Classic. You could play most of these games, I assume, are on there.
Yeah.
Or get it hacked like mine.
Or get it hacked.
Super Nintendo. Now you're playing with superpower.
What's now you're playing with power, comma, superpower. Now you're playing with power, superpower.
I dig it.
I think that's right anyway. Yeah. I don't know. I'm being a stickler here. Just tell me to shut up, Russ.
Anyways, give us a buzz. Call the podcast. 949-682-9277. You can leave a voicemail. Topics, what you want us to cover, how we're doing. You can make fun of us on what games we don't like and can't get into.
That's right, especially me. Easy target here.
Check out our website, theweeklywarpipe.com. We got merch up there. You can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers, magnets, all the fun stuff. You can support the show like that. Or if you want to go all out, you can support on Patreon. We got our top tier supporters, Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Living Good, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retroholic 16, and Austin Mills as well. You can head over to patreon.com/RussLyman. Yeah, check it out. It's good stuff.
Absolutely.
We're not 100% sure if we'll have an episode next week because I will be in California. So we'll have to figure that out. So if we do finally skip a week, don't hold it against us.
Just miss us that much more.
That's it. Leave your comments in this video if you're watching on YouTube of topics you want us to possibly cover. That's the main thing. Me and Jay, we always end up forgetting what the topic's going to be for the following week. And then it's like either the day before or the day of when we record to be like, what's tonight's topic?
We need it. You know, we'll have to just take 2 minutes after each podcast and come up with the next one so you can get the questions out earlier.
Right. So then people could chime in.
Yeah.
So when we ask you guys, we'll see. Yeah. Who knows? Trying to be as productive as we can.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you jumping in the warp pipe with us this week. And we'll see you on the next level.